Well, hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens. I'm Ronnie. That's Ben over there. Hello, Benoons.
Hi. How's it going?
Good. Everything's going well over here. Thank you. Okay. Today is the Valley Day, the happiest show on television. Ooh, really want to get married and have a baby after watching this show. Get your tubes tied. This is a public service announcement after watching this show. Good Lord. But before we get into that, our cabaret, Forbidden Housewives, is still being written and memorized and prayed over deeply.
Yeah.
It's going to be June 3rd and June 5th in New York City. It's sold out, but there will be live streams. Those live streams are going to be lit. There's three of them. There's going to be a little party in each one. There will be a chat room and good times happening. If you want tickets for those, they're available up until show time, but not afterwards. After that, you will be able to watch it. You know, if you have a ticket, you'll be able to watch it for a week. So go over and get tickets for that at watchwhatcrappens.com. And also, if you want video recaps of all of our shows, or you want bonus episodes, or you want ad-free listening, which is a big one, or you want our free weekly blog recap newsletter thingy, that's free. Go over to patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. Sign up for free. You'll still get updates on everything we're doing. And hello. That's it. That's all I have to say today. This is super
programming
notes. Because it is a weekend of holidays, and Monday is that holiday. We're not going to be here. Guess why? Because we're taking a holiday. So we're not going to be here Monday. The recaps for Real Housewives of Atlanta and of Rhode Island will be updated with the following week's recaps. Okay, so we hope you all have a safe, wonderful holiday weekend, because we will.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to be partying / memorizing songs. So thank you for your patience with that. And now the Valley, you know what I love about the Valley? I think this is maybe the third season in a row where around this part of the season, I start to like get excited about the Valley and you start to be like, this show is so fucking dark. I'm like, yes, yes, it is. Yes.
You start feeding on the souls that this show is churning out, I guess.
I am feeding on it. I mean, I will say, I mean, at the beginning of this season, everyone's like, oh my God, this season sucks. Like within like second episode, people are like, it's terrible. It's terrible. And I was like, well, I mean, it's not amazing. I mean, last season you had Jax, this boogeyman, but like, I hate to say it, but now that we have our new villain in Danny, like the show's kind of come alive a bit, I think. I mean, I've enjoyed the whole season so far in general, but now that there's like an urgency about, oh my goodness, there's this really bad guy on the show again. I find that I'm kind of like watching it in like my eyes are wide open. I'm attached to it. I'm riveted and I'm like, oh, I'm fired up. So yeah,
Hey, listen, I respect that. And I actually appreciate it because it helps, you know, because we both can't be Bitter Schmitter or it's really toxic to listen to. I just, I don't find, and I'm not saying you do, but the way I look at it is that I just don't find abusive men entertaining. I just don't find that entertaining. I think Danny is an abusive man. I think he's disgusting. I think he's just unwatchable. And I don't enjoy watching it and I don't enjoy people enabling it, you know, Kristen, etc. I really don't like watching it. I just don't find it entertaining. I didn't find it entertaining with Jax. I don't find it entertaining with Danny. You know, the petty fights and stuff I'm into, but this is just too dark for me. I mean, if I'm going to see an abusive man, it better be on Lifetime where they get their ass stomped. You know what I mean? Mm. I want to see Rob Lowe murdered, get up, you know, like you thought he was dead, but he's not dead. And then he gets murdered again. I need like a triple murder of an abusive male if I'm going to be watching these shows. So this is too much for me.
Isn't that our role though? Aren't we?
What's that?
Aren't we the one who are?
We're the Meredith Baxter Bernies.
Yeah. Isn't it us with the fire poker, like doing the stab? I mean, I think, joking aside, I think what you're saying is a completely, I don't want to say it completely valid because that sounds, when people say that's so valid, it actually sounds that's so insincere. I think it's like speak, a very legitimate it.
So Bravo
thing to
therapy
say.
Speak. That's valid. Hey, yeah. By the way, I learned something today, Lindsay. I learned something.
Hey, Ronnie, can we do a check-in? By the way, speaking of therapy speak, Nia, wow. Can we just want to do a check-in? I think it's a totally legitimate thing to say. I would never, ever say that watching these pig men is like, oh, I'm never going to cheer for them, never going to root that on. And I understand what you're saying. You don't even want to really, you don't even enjoy participating in the structures that are keeping them employed. For me, it's more like I actually find it compelling to watch because these are relationships that people find themselves in quite often. And I find it fascinating to watch it and to dissect it. And then we rewrite the wrongs of the universe because then we all pile in and be like, fuck you, you know? But for real, I find it to be compelling to watch these very human interactions because ultimately I will never stand for abuse. I will never stand for the mistreatment of people. But what I stand for on reality TV is I stand for watching real issues and real dynamics. And that's always compelling to me as opposed to when something not real is happening. So it's not like, well, it's worth it because it's real. It's more like that it's on TV. I'm like, I'm compelled by this dynamic and how everyone deals with it and weighing in on it. And I really enjoy the discussions that we all have around it. I think it's really fascinating. So it's just sort of a different side of the coin, but it's not to negate anything that you're saying.
No, yeah, look, you know, we all enjoy what we enjoy. This is killing me. And that's this whole drag thing. They're just not funny people. Like, they're just not fun enough to pull this off. I think aside from the abusive men thing that they've got going on, they've got a problem with just having a lot of uncharismatic people in one place and they're filming it. And
what are you saying? I did gymnastics. I will threaten you with a good time. I am full of charisma.
Yeah. It's like, just put a hidden camera in a food court and let's just watch that, you know, which actually I probably would enjoy. That's neither here nor there. And I also understand if people are listening to a show about a show, you're generally listening because you're a fan of the show. And it's really not fun to have someone who's just like, this show sucks. All right, I'll talk about it for 2 hours, how much it sucks. So I don't want to fall into that either. But it's just, you know, I normally like this show. It's just, it's a rough season for me. And I think it's also because it's airing at the same time as other things on Bravo that are just equally kind of like, you know, it really is just a slew of things at one time. I mean, you've got this, you've got Below Deck, the pigs on Below Deck, and that whole, you know, like Jenna back and forth thing going on. And then it's followed by Southern Hospitality with Emmy's microaggressions that just go on and on and on. And it's like 13 episodes in a row of this shit. Nobody does anything. And she's still there, still showing up. And so I think the end of the week is starting to like... It's just like a dark cloud at the end of the week. I'm like, oh my God, geez, can we lighten up here a little? But I'm going to take my own advice. I'm lighting up because it's a recap day. So let's get to her.
Yeah, find the joy in these situations, which is that you can just unleash and go nuts.
Yeah, not the fetal position or anything, you know, but if we're going to give like a opening, you know, how I feel about this show, that's how I feel. It sucks, but we'll have fun doing what we do. That's for sure. It's The Valley season 3, episode 8, Misbehavior.
Yeah. Well, in case you somehow forgot, we were in the prep stages of this beauty pageant where the men are going to be in drag and Danny is being a total asshole. A huge, idiotic, annoying asshole, while also wearing a wig that makes him look like Jan Brady, which is funny.
He wishes he looked like Jan Brady. Jan Brady was cute.
Well, it was Jan Brady styled hair, I should say. But
he looks like the talking orange.
He just
in a wig.
You know what he looks like? There's like a certain cartoon character. This is a great reference by me. There's a certain cartoon character that I can't remember its name of. That's what he looks like. So everyone just think about it.
I think he has a pinched butt face. I think he looks like a pinched, dimpled butt.
He's like a rejected Smurf. So here's the thing. So he is being a huge dick. A huge dick. You know, it's like, it's one of those things where at first you thought, oh, he's being jokey, competitive, he's in character, but it's teetered out of that into he's just being a dick. and he's drunk and everyone's uncomfortable. And he and Lala basically just told him, like, knock it off. And then he said, and she said, you know, this is triggering or something. And I was like, oh, Miss Triggered. So he's making fun of her for saying that she's triggered by him. And Lala really does not like that.
Yeah. And he's like, oh, Lala, she's triggered everybody. And she's like, okay, Daniel, fucking knock it off, Stugs. I'm not fucking with you right now, okay? You're not going to come and be passive aggressive. Because what happens when you're passive aggressive? I'm just aggressive. All right, bitch, you better step off the curb before I curb stomp your ass. Bam, Tupac, bitch. She's going on her full.
There's no aggression here, though. There's no aggression. What you talking about? Don't do that shit to me, Danny. It's like, well, you did it to me first. She's like, well, you were being aggressive and disrespectful to your wife. All right, okay, take a beat. Come on, guys, can we have a check-in? I feel that when you say that, it makes me feel... Nia, be quiet with the therapy talk, okay? She's mistriggered over there.
But I liked it because Neo's like, take a beat and hear her. And she's like, well, I'm very disrespect. You know, it's very disrespectful, you know, saying I'm triggered instead of being like, I'm sorry, Nia. I'm a little in my feelings and I just want to look good. You're being passive aggressive and saying triggered and mocking me. You're mocking me. And Lee's like, yeah, and she didn't even say anything. Yeah, and you mocked me and you were very disrespectful to me and I don't like that. And he's like, but you don't even know what happened before it. Danny, just fucking stop. He never stops. Yeah. With the excuses and the, you know, and then he comes out this week. First of all, he didn't show up for Watch What Happens Live, which is pretty funny because he was supposed to be on. He says, oh, I have this big, huge movie that I'm in. Okay, Danny. So he didn't come to that because he doesn't want to take the public outcry because we all hate his ass now. And so he's not going to show up. So he's a wuss. And then he puts out this Instagram apology to Nia. Did you see that?
Yeah, I did.
Or there's page long chat GPT written, or Nia GPT, I should say, written.
Yeah.
To my treaties, yeah. You know, like, give me a break, Danny. No one's buying it, and it's a little fucking late.
Yeah, it was all the things like, I was tired, I was trashed, and I was alcohol, blah, 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 blah. It was just so typical. And of course, he puts it up right after the episode, immediately doing damage control. But I love when Danny said, you don't know what happened beforehand. And Lala goes, what could she possibly have done to make you pissed off about a fucking synthetic wig? Exactly. What there's just nothing that happened before that could have justified this sort of reaction.
He's like, it's nothing about the wig. It was nothing about what had been done. Well, I didn't like the way you were talking to her, so I said something. And he's like, can you hear Lala? Can you just let her express her feelings? Could you just pretend she's not, you know, pretend doing a Tupac impersonation? Just listen. And Danny's like, you don't have the right. You don't have the right to do that. She's like, clearly I do, because I did it.
She does have the right. So Lala says, the vibes I get from Danny's and Nia's feels suffocating to me, okay? I think there's, like, a lot that she's pushed under the rug, and I feel so badly for her because she moved all the way up to Santa Clarita and still doesn't have enough room for her rug. It's terrible. So Lala says... I mean,
yeah, Santa Clarita's a big rug to be pushing things under. It's a very, very, very big, uncomfortable rug. Yeah, you know, when people get married, when people do this shit in public and then someone else says something, they're like, this is none of your business. You mind your own fucking business. You made it my business when you did this in front of me. You know, there was a lady in a Ross, I think it was a Ross I was in, a Ross Dress for Less, mild haunting grounds. And my hunting grounds. Anyway, I was in there one day and this lady was yelling at her kid so bad and then started smacking her kid, like hitting the kid. And it's like a little kid, you know? I mean, a little kid in a Ross, like, I don't think you're allowed to be well-behaved as a little kid in a Ross. Even the adults aren't well-behaved in there. They just pick up the clothes and they throw them directly on the ground. Okay? We've all been to a Ross. And she started hitting the kid and I went, whoa, 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 whoa. And then she tried to come at me and she was like, you mind your own fucking business. And I was like, nah, this is public, ma'am. Mm-hmm. And I stayed calm until the loss prevention guy came over. It's like, what the hell? You don't get to beat your kid in public, and then we're all supposed to stay silent, you know? It's like I always say, it takes a village to raise a kid, but it also takes a village to tar and feather a bitch. So watch it, you know? I'm the village.
Well, your village is. You're like, our village is stuck in the 1600s. Takes a village, but just remember. Let's not forget. The witch trials happened in the village too.
Exactly. Do not forget what villages are capable of. Child beaters
could do a lot. Have you ever read The Lottery?
Oh, yes.
So Lala,
go watch The Village. Not a happy movie.
But also the villages can produce some very gay music. Village people.
Villages can do a lot. I'm just saying, let's not make villages a one-trick pony. Villages can also come for you. You know what I mean?
Villages can raise things, and they can also destroy things.
That's right.
Change things and create culture.
That's exactly right.
That was it takes a village to do a podcast. I'll tell you that much. So, by the way, villagers are so tired of doing all this stuff for other people. I'm leaving the village.
Seriously.
Takes a valley. So Lala's like, I don't like what just went down. And I didn't like how you tried to mock me. That wasn't okay. And he's like, no, and that's okay. Well, I mean, that's not okay. It's fine. Can I do a check-in with something, Vaz? Can I do a check-in with you? And Lala's like, I'm just trying to convey to you that I don't like it. And don't fucking talk to me that way. You've got the wrong one. And Lala always does that. You got the wrong one. I'm always like, okay, Lala. But her doing it to Danny was very satisfying to me. Because it's like,
that's the thing, the you get your, even the enemy of your enemy kind of thing is your friend.
I think Lala had a good episode. Honestly, I have to say, for all the like Lala on the Valley, no one wants her. I think she's been doing perfectly fine. I have actually no issues with Lala on this show so far. I think she's spoken up about the things that she should speak up about. She's advocated for things. She's gotten into the mix. Tom Schwartz, on the other hand, wastes space. I don't know what this Rick and Morty character is doing here. So I think he should go. But Lala, I think she's earned her keep.
Rick and Morty character. Lala, Lala, I think the problem with Lala is just like, why? You know, it's like the show is doing fine on its own without these non-value adds, I think. And if you're going to go in the direction of like adding things to the show, add another fucked up couple, you know, like, do we really, I think the basic question was anybody asking for more Lala? No, but we got more Lala. And, you know, in situations like this, I definitely think this was a good one for her for sure. I'll agree there. But that's, that's also why it's uncomfortable, because, you're watching the show and it's like making you kind of root for Janet in a way, in a roundabout way. Well, and it's just when Bravo does that and they flip, it's like they get you going one way and then they flip the script on you and you're like, oh my God. But it's like all my beliefs, it's like
my beliefs.
Yeah. Like, all my beliefs are turning and I'm questioning everything. And how did I not see this last year? And like, it's like a lot of personal identity crisis that I'm going through because of this show. And I don't need that.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Is now a good time for me to go over the Janet thing that I, the Janet timeline that I sort of revisited while I was watching this episode? I was going to do it later, but I feel like since you mentioned Janet, now might be a good time. We really don't need to recap the show, right?
No, isn't it always a good time to just go over Janet timelines? Shit, do whatever you want. Call me on our day off. Let's do it again then.
Well, I was honestly at the end of this episode, I was really so dismayed with Danny. And I just feel like he's so rude to Nia, and he really is a problem. And, there was a lot of talk at the end of the episode. There's a lot of talk about God forbid if you say anything bad about Danny, that sort of was like Danny and Nia, but like really Danny. Like you get raked over the coals. Look at what happened with Janet. Like that's sort of the last scene of this episode. And I was like, it inspired me to go back and rewatch that dinner at Brittany's Airbnb or her rental that she had last season, which is really, I think, when there was the major break between Nia and Janet, or one could even say Janet and a large part of the group. And I sort of going back and looking at it, it made me, I don't know, with this greater context, I'm going to say that I really do think that like Janet got, I think, an unfair amount of hate. I'm going to say it. I think Janet was a disaster. I'm not going to say she wasn't a disaster. I think she was a disaster. I think she was a total asshole in the second half of the season for sure. But if you really look at it, the timeline is fascinating to me. So first we have, I'm going to pause here because I'm about to monologue. And
Go ahead, I'm here.
I want to do a check-in with you, Ronnie.
I want to do a check-in. No, I'm here. I'm here. Yeah, go for it. I'm belted in.
Because I did research, okay? I did empirical research until I got bored.
Which is how science works.
That's how science really works.
Still is why we don't have the cure for the common cold. It just gets boring, you know?
Ronnie, I feel like there will be stuff I'm going to bring up that's going to annoy you. And so I'm just preparing you.
Okay. So do you want me to just stay quiet the whole time? Are you asking for silence? Go ahead. I'll make a little.
No, I think if you get annoyed, I think chime in. But we just have to remember, I have to get back to my full timeline, because if I only give like half of what I have to say, then I'll sound like a total asshole. Like,
okay, I'm just gonna listen and take notes.
Okay. So it starts with in Santa Barbara. They go on a group trip. Danny arrives to the group trip late. Remember, and so he starts drinking really hard to catch up. And he drinks really hard and he gets wasted and he passes out. And there's a whole thing about at that dinner where Nia's like, Danny's just taking a nap. He's not at dinner. And Nia's like, he's just taking a nap. He needs to take a nap. He's so tired. And Jasmine gets annoyed because she's like, what? Why are we saying that he's like, oh, taking a nap? He's like wasted. He passed out. Because Jasmine is, she had this whole issue with Danny. And so she is like a bit on edge about the fact that like when he gets wasted, he has bad things happen. He goes to Dark Side Danny, and now we're just going to act like, oh, he's just taking a nap, whatever. He's drinking in a way that is like different from the rest of the group to the point where he winds up passing out, yada, yada. So they have like a little bit of a fight. So we come to this group dinner, and at the group dinner, they're there to sort of smooth things over from that squabble that happened in Santa Barbara. And Jasmine and Brittany both apologize to Nia for, you know, judging Danny's quote unquote nap, right? It's really not their place. It's not their place to judge the fact that he napped, yada, yada, yada. And they just say, we just thought in that moment, it felt like you were trying to hide something and it sort of triggered something in us. And then Nia tells a story about how she doesn't hide things. And in fact, she grew up, she was homeless when she grew up and she had a really tough upbringing and they would dig for cans in the trash to recycle, to make some money for food. And so she learned that she just has to smile and move forward. So while it may look like she hides things, it's just her coping mechanism because her tough upbringing brought that out in her. At which point, Kristen hears this story and is like, what she's been through, I will never let anyone say anything bad about her ever again. So now Nia has earned Kristen's undying devotion through this story. And, you know, it's a compelling story. So everything's nice. And then Janet says, by the way, well, and Nia says, and I don't hide anything. Like it's like, I put on a smile face, but like you can talk to me about anything. So Janet says, well, there was this one weird moment. I was in the cupboard, or not the cupboard. I shrank and was in a cupboard. I was in the pantry and Danny came in and started chugging tequila with the door closed. And I felt uncomfortable because if this was like a hidden drinking thing, I didn't want to be accomplice to. I didn't want to be part of it. If it was something that wasn't meant to be seen, she's basically saying, I don't want to get dragged into whatever this is. And it was uncomfortable for me. And Nia's clearly not totally happy with this story. And then Janet says, you know, by the way, I had an ex who had like drug and alcohol, you know, issues. And if you ever have any concerns about his drinking, you can always like come talk to me or talk to us because we've been down this path. At which point Nia then says, you know what? Like, that was an overstep. That's an overstep to imply that. And I actually feel like what Danny and I have worked through so hard is now being weaponized against us. And now Kristen's mad at Janet. Everyone's mad at Janet for making this overstep. And then from there, it spirals. And then Janet is on defense and Janet becomes a disaster. And she just is terrible for the rest of the season. But this, if you really look at it, what really happened was Janet was like, yeah, Danny was drinking in a way that made me feel uncomfortable. And because she said this and questioned Danny and Nia, Kristen was like, how dare you? And it became a whole thing and it sent her off a thing. And I just kind of feel like what Janet brought up was not the worst thing in the world. And now we're seeing Danny, when he drinks, acts in ways that makes that make people feel very, very, very uncomfortable. And it should have been brought to light. That was my very long monologue.
Okay, so here's what I'll say about that, because I think that that's, you know, that's something that's being relitigated now all over the place. It's like, oh my God, Janet's been right this whole time, blah, blah, blah. Janet has not been right this whole time, and I'm going to tell you why. Just because Danny is, here's the situation it's kind of putting me in, and I feel like a lot of people, I know it's not me personally, but as a viewer, it's how I feel. Marjorie Taylor Greene, awful human being, monster. You know, I don't care even where you stand politically. Okay, I know that I'm not even talking about politics. I'm just saying, as a human being, she sucks. She's a horrible human being. And then at some point, she came out against Trump, like she got mad at Trump. And so she started turning that anger on Trump. And then people were like, oh my God, Marjorie Taylor Greene's amazing. When did this happen? It's like, no, she's still a fucking monster. She's just a monster that is fighting somebody that I approve of right now. We have to like keep that in mind. You know what I mean? So that's my basic feeling, because everything you're bringing up, yes, the trip to Santa Barbara, the reason that Brittany, first of all, Jasmine was mad because she wanted to confront Danny again about this, you know, grabbing her ass, which is her right, by the way. And that was my opinion back then as well. That was her right to do it. And she was pissed that Danny went to bed. Brittany was pissed because she was having this whole relationship blow up with Jax, and she felt like she's putting everything on TV. And meanwhile, Nia's getting to act like everything's perfect. How I felt at the time is still how I felt. If your husband goes out and gets too drunk and decides to go to bed instead of coming and filming and looking like a drunk idiot on TV, to me, that's a good move. Like, to me, that was a good move. It's like, you know, was it a good move to get too drunk? No, but they're on vacation. He's tired. He had the kids. I got that. I got the, like, Danny wants to, like, whatever, blow some steam off and go to bed. He's tired and he's wasted. And it's better to not be on TV and embarrass your wife and yourself. So I thought that was a good move. And as far as, like, Nia trying to hide things, I think just because someone's life isn't imploding on TV, I mean, doesn't that just make them smarter? Like, I didn't fault Nia for that. I think the reason she got pissed at Janet was because Janet had already been coming at Danny and trying to prove a point against Danny, and then sat down under the guise of like, I really care for you. You're an NA, right? We all know you're an NA, which was a big thing with that too, which was kind of outing her. And Nia was like, what the fuck? I haven't talked about being an NA. So that was a huge overstep. And then being like, well, I have a husband who's got drug and alcohol problems too. Well, you've got Jax, who's like a complete cokehead, you know, abusing his wife, which everybody knew at the time. And so Janet, it's like your enemy is like, oh, it's concern trolling. It's like, oh, Nia, let's sit you down on TV and now let's talk about what an alcoholic your husband is. So I could see how Nia was like, fuck you guys. Like, this is not cool. Okay. Now, this stuff this year, so I don't think that Janet's off the hook, because Janet took that stuff so far to the point where it was at the reunion where she's like, oh, really? Well, Danny is grabbing multiple women. We all know Danny. You know, she took it really far and they were like, what? Who? Who are you talking about? She's like, oh, we all know it's multiple women and doing all of this. So Janet took something that was, that could have been from anybody else, real concern. If it was from somebody else, like, listen, Danny's to the point where he's, I don't know, if it was handled differently, it would be one thing. But it's the fact that it was your enemy coming at you and then making it a TV thing like that. Now let's talk about your husband being an alcoholic, that really set Nia off. So I think last year, I'm not going to give Janet a ton of points for last year, even if they had, because Jax had great points too. I mean, there was an old tweet of Jax's that came out when someone was like, oh my God, Danny and Nia are couple goals. Like, Danny is just amazing and they're couple goals. And Jax replied, we'll see how this ages. You know, so that's being retweeted a lot now. So it's not that nobody had a good point. It's like, that's your enemy doing it. If it had been Kristen or somebody like that, that would have been different. But I think Janet, even though she may have had some seeds of a point, was doing it kind of from a vindictive place. You know what I mean? So I'm not going to completely write the history of Janet, but I will say that this year, Janet is really coming back. And whether you're buying it or not, it takes me a long time to buy it. So I don't really yet, but I think she's doing a good job at like trying to come and restart with people. So I'll give her credit for that. And I think her apology to Nia today was pretty good. And Nia was an idiot for the way she handled it. But Yeah, I'm just not really ready to like give Janet a whole rewrite of history because she was still an asshole.
You know what? I'm not sure I would ask you to do that. I just feel like looking at it back, I think it's more like the extreme hate that she received from the audience was driven in large part by this idea that Danny and Nia were couple goals and they seem to be the only functional couple on the show and Janet just goes after them. And she was 100% terrible at the reunion. She just got worse and worse over the course of the seasons, you know, saying sexual assault, all this stuff. But I think she's one of these people that when she gets like cornered, like so many reality stars, when she gets cornered, she gets entrenched in her stance and then she just gets worse and worse and worse. And I think that ultimately I looking back at it, I honestly didn't even see it so much as really concern trolling when I watched it the second time. I just saw it as someone being like, hey, this was like a weird moment. If there are issues with the drinking, like, you know, you can talk to us about it. Like I really didn't see it as anything deeper than that. And Nia immediately became very defensive. And I agreed, like, you should be able to, if you want to handle stuff behind closed doors, we just had this whole talk about the village. If you don't want the village getting involved, you keep it behind closed doors. But it's like Danny has an issue here and Janet picked up on it and like mentioned something. And very quickly, Kristen and others went and like were like making Janet seem like the devil right away. And then we all kind of just went with it. And Janet didn't help. Janet really helped the case for Kristen. But the truth is, I actually think in retrospect, if you look at this inflection point, I don't think that what Janet did was really so bad.
Well, it's all in the delivery, eh?
Eh?
It's all in the delivery, eh? I mean, I really think that Janet is her own worst enemy. You know,
she absolutely is, which is why I enjoy her as a villain. I enjoy a bumbling villain. Like, I think it's like so funny that Janet is a big villain, you know, especially on a show where you have really toxic people and like doing terrible things. And then you just have Janet who's just like, you know, stepping in, you know, bear traps and knocking over boxes in her villainy. And I just think it's funny.
Yeah, I think she's just as toxic as the rest. And that's kind of the problem is like they're all so toxic in their own ways. I mean, you could really go down a path with each one of them. It's like, okay, well, Kristen, you know, she's being a good friend. But then look at everything Kristen's done and look at all the boneheaded decisions Kristen's made over the years and the reason she got canceled in the first place. And like we could go down that with almost every single person on this cast, which makes it hard to really stick up for anybody ever. Because
ever,
yikes, you're like, look who you're sticking up for, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, that's interesting though, because all that stuff is coming up again. So thank you for the, you know,
for the research, the rewatch
and all that. Yeah, for the research.
Then the best part about the research is that when I was done watching the scene, I just like closed my laptop. And the next day, I opened up the laptop, and where it had closed, it paused, and it was on a promo for Ladies of London because this episode was recorded a few weeks ago. And right there in the promo was a pull quote from us. I had no idea that we were being used in a pull quote on Bravo all this time. I was so excited. I was like, oh my God, it's our name. Moment our name.
That's so cool. I'm so glad you sent that to me. I never would have known that either. That was really neat.
Like,
of course, that means that show's probably going to get canceled.
I know. Sorry.
Whenever it's endorsed by Watch What Crappens, it's out in 2 seconds. You know, sorry, gallery girls. Sorry we did that to you, gallery girls. So okay, but here we are, and this year is this year, and I'm completely on the side you were just on right now, because right now it's like this is all happening, and it's like, well, yeah, now you don't get to have, now you've crossed this point where you don't get to have your, like, well, it's private, we're just gonna keep, and you don't have the right to say anything. Yes, we fucking do, sir. So Nia's like, oh my God, Daniel, can we just take a breather and reset? I need us to have a good time. So Lala leaves and goes to Zach and Brittany. And she's like, you little fucking shrimp. I mean, listen here, Polly Pocket. And Zach's like, hold on, sorry, I'm trying to put on my makeup. She's like, what you're not going to do is fucking mock me. I mean, you got the wrong fucking Quan, and I'm offended by him. Do you understand me? And Brittany's like, that's not okay. That's like using balsamic vinegar on chicken wings. Not okay.
When he gets mouthy, he gets mouthy. Yeah, look, by the way, look how good Zach looks, though. Look, he's got boobies, okay? So now Nia is, she's making some sashes and everything. And Danny's like, hey, can you do one that says mistriggered instead of misunderstood? And then other people are getting dressed. Tom looks crazy. Tom looks truly crazy in his dress. And then Zach, his boobs are bouncing up and down. So he's very excited. And then Janet and Michelle are helping Tom with his walk and telling him how to walk and everything. And then Danny walks into the kitchen and Nia's there. And Nia's like, okay, well, these are the judges. All right, get away from the judges, Danny. Get away. You can't be near the judges. It's going to bias them. You can't. And he's like, what? But we are a team, Nia. We are a team. You can't tell me to walk away. Don't talk to me like that. Don't talk to me like that.
Well, he's actually trying to be fun now because he's just gotten yelled at, so they're in front of everyone. So he's like, we're a chain, babe. Which I can tell your shift in energy, and I appreciate that. I love you, Daniel. Which is also making me crazy. The Nia following him around, trying to make it okay all the time and trying to smooth it over, you know. And he's like, don't talk to me like that. And she's like, what? And so he comes in for a kiss, and she's like, I just, God, you're exhausting. Like, I can't. I'm just exhausted.
Mm. I keep getting more frustrated by the way that Daniel's speaking to me, and I don't know why he doesn't get it. Like, I'm just trying to tell him this is not cool and I love you. And I know you're trying to be competitive and in character and all that, but it's just like not working. And I just feel really uncomfortable. And like, but rather than getting angry, I just like walk away and I just try to center and be calm.
Please get angry with him. I think that would be really great if she got angry with him.
Yeah.
He needs it.
Yeah. So she's trying to make it nice, and she's like, okay, ladies, you did a really great job. We're going to be scoring on performance outfits, and, you know, that's what's going to make up the final scores. So now they start doing it. Contestant number one is Ms. Judge, duh. And Tom comes out. God bless his heart. God bless his heart.
It's like, I mean, it was, they also, like, they definitely trolled him, giving that little blonde bob. Like,
and Coke bottle like, glasses and the whole.
They made him look as bad as possible. And then Jesse does his walk. Jesse has like sort of like a big blonde curly wig, sort of 80s style. And he sort of stumbles. And then Luke comes in. Luke looks so crazy. Luke, he looks like a cartoon carrot. Like, it's just, he's like,
he looks like
Carrie. Or like Beaker. Yeah. Like what?
Beaker. He looks like Carrie from the movie Carrie.
He's just in this crazy drag. And then Zach comes in. This is just a whole pageant and everything. So they all are judging and everything. It's so awkward
when Danny comes in because everybody just hates Danny's guts at this point. And he comes in, he's trying to be like hilarious. And it's like, wow. Great. It's like it ruined the whole, this Danny thing just kind of ruined the energy of the whole night. So it's like, well, isn't this fun? These guys are like trying to be funny and hilarious and drag. And everyone's just like, wow, really fun. Yay, boobies, hilarious. And Danny's just like trying to like gyrate and stuff and nobody's buying it. So, Zach's like, Tom came out looking like a cross between Edna Mode from The Incredibles in like bootleg, like Cinderella that has an astigmatism. Like, what?
And Jasmine says that Jesse is giving Anna Nicole Smith vibes, trim spa baby, which of course is a callback to the fact that Jesse and Anna Nicole Smith did some photos together. And then Kristen's like, Zach looks like a whore that like Tom Schwartz probably banged back in the early 2000s. Huh? Like you mean your best friend, Katie Maloney? Do you know what you're talking about here? She's like, who would ever sleep with him in the 2000s? I'm like, you know that he has been with your best friend during that time frame, right?
She probably just met one of the people that Tom cheated, one of the multiples that Tom cheated with.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So now, Nia announces that the prize for Miss Congeniality is Miss Judge. Tom wins Miss Congeniality. And Kristen's like, it's unfortunate because, like, outside of drag, Tom Schwartz is like the hottest guy. But, like, wow, what did they do to my Tom? He's so ugly. So now, now the top two are Luke and Zach. Miss Petty and Mistaken step forward. And Danny's like, the top two, the top two. Yeah, shocker, you didn't get any votes. Isn't it crazy?
I know. He's like really upset about it. He's like, I put on this wig only to come in third place. What is happening? This is... Ah. So Jesse's like, I'm kind of disappointed. I didn't make it to top three. I think my little stumble threw me off a bit. Yeah, I guess there's always next year. But you know that like Danny and Jesse are legitimately very upset about this. You can see they went to bed that night like, I should have won. This is rigged against me. I fucking hate this. And it's all your fault.
Yeah. And he's probably like, Nia, it's your fault, Nia. I told you, you didn't take this serious enough.
So Zach initially wins, but it turns out it's a mistake. It's a La La Land moment, and it's actually Luke who wins.
Wow. So, now
we're speechless.
Sometimes there are no winners, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like maybe beauty contest should end that way sometimes. Like, guys, I'm sorry. There are no winners tonight. Okay. In this pageant of Miss America, America lost. Okay. Go home. Everybody.
I'll tell you where we did win. Like for the rest of this evening and the rest of the scenes, Danny remains in his dress, but without his wig on. So he's just like walking around this little gold dress, which I thought was like very funny. It was like a little Tina Turner dress. So then they go outside. Danny and Nia go outside. And Danny's like, there's no one's even out here. He's like upset. He's upset that the outside doesn't have people out there. She's like, no, this is nice. And we haven't been out here. Isn't this nice to be out here? Oh my goodness. We haven't seen any of this stuff. Look, it's a table. Have you ever seen a table before? Wow.
It's a lawn. And he's like, why do I still have all this on? I don't know. Take it off. It's a lot. And he's like, okay, what's going on? And so she's like, well, it is hard to have a serious conversation with you dressed like that. And he's like, why'd you do me dirty like that? She's like, what? And he's like, she goes, my love. And he goes, what? She's like, I do want to talk to you. I mean, I want you to hear me and maybe you can put your foot down. You know, like I feel like get your foot off the table. That'd be great. I feel like things got really tense earlier. And he's like, are you talking about you and me or me and Lala? And she says, you and me, like, it's getting intense, you know, and I'd like to communicate. And I know you're just trying to be playful, but, you know, it got to the point where other people in the house felt the energy and other people felt they needed to speak up. And I was speaking up and you weren't even listening to me. So I just want to, like, check in with you.
Well, it's a competition. And you know me, I'm super competitive. I'm like, this was not the NBA finals, okay? It was a stupid drag show that the producers said you had to put on because they wanted a fun game section in the vacation. And then people are not coming up. Then people are coming up and they're saying, I'm triggered by how you're speaking to your wife or whatever, even though I was like joking. And she goes,
I know, but I was telling you it wasn't making me feel good in that moment.
Yeah. So now the girls are talking in another room and Lala's like, something is not right there. And Janet's like, okay, tell us what happened. And so she does. And she's like, you know, and now then he's this mistriggered thing. And now he's mocking me. And, you know, if he feels comfortable talking to her, I mean, like talking to me that way, set Nia aside. He feels comfortable talking to me that way. Like, who the fuck do you think you are, sir?
Well, back outside to me. You know what, Lala, she should have said, I'm triggered because this is how I was treated by my partner. Like, we're on the same level as her and that person. And he was like, okay. And he was very, you know, please, Danny, I just want to, can I finish?
No, because
yes, I can. Oh, you just want to interrupt me? Is that how it goes?
She's like, Daniel, it's not about Lala.
Should you have a problem?
Well, if I tell you I'm not able to receive your playfulness right now.
Well, you don't have to raise your voice. I didn't raise my voice.
Okay, this is when I started throwing things at the TV. You don't have to raise your voice, Nia. I didn't raise my voice. Yes, you did. You raised your voice to the point where people stepped in, bro. The whole house heard it. And this whole, like, well, how dare she compare me to Rand? Well, I mean, you don't want to be compared to be a piece of shit. Don't come out of an asshole. Daniel,
yeah.
You know, so she's like, you know, like, I just feel like you're not hearing me now and you weren't hearing me before. Like, can you hear me and acknowledge me and make me feel heard? He's like, of course. And can you, like, listen to me? He's like, I hear you. You don't have to raise your voice. Ow. Oh, God, the yelling. Nia raises. She's like, can you hear me? Oh, geez, the yelling. Stop yelling. Oh, my God. Oh, I know. Geez.
Nia, the famous yeller of the valley.
Yeah.
God, I hate it when she always is screaming. Flying off the handle.
So Lala says, I think he's mean to her and nobody says anything. What is going on? And Janet's like, well, if you say things, it gets very, very bad for you. And she's like, well, guess what? You know what? You were onto something and no one wants to admit it, but I just watched it out there and everyone's letting it slide. And this poor, sweet woman is sitting here trying to keep a brave face and has four kids and she's out here and he's out here screaming at her about a fucking wig.
If I had to guess what Danny and his relationship is like behind closed doors, he probably struggles with little man syndrome, where he's got to, like, buck up, show who's the boss all the time. And I think that's, like, really deeply rooted in their faith. And, like, from what I know about he is the king and you were there to support. And honestly, I was actually really happy to hear Lala say this because I kind of feel like this is something that is being kind of skated around. Like, it's been meant, you know, people talk about it online, you see it in comments, you know, but I think no one has really gone there because people don't want to sort of drag religion into it and make it a thing about religion and make it into a big, deep thing. But the truth is we're all kind of thinking it. And the fact that Lala said it on camera, I actually applaud her for.
Yeah. And people are like, well, I have the right to my religion. You do, but you're not above the criticism of it. And if your religion is telling women they're second class citizens, then you're going to get some pushback. SARS. Mm-hmm. Village again. Yep. Sorry. Village calling.
Village. The village is called. A few weeks ago, we said that they seem like totally the type that goes to, is it Oasis? Oasis is the one on
LeBron. No, it's the one, it's where you break glass and you put it back together. What's that called?
Mosaic. And apparently they actually do go there. Someone sent us and I was like, yep, of course they do actually go to Mosaic.
Yes, of course they do. I'm looking up Mosaic because
now I have to actually, I'm like, by the way, actually now I feel like I have to double confirm that as like we're about to talk about like their faith and everything. But I was just giving ourselves pats on the back for having a good read on a situation. That's it. But yeah, I think it's, I thought that was really cool that Lala called that out. And so Nia is like, it's just frustrating because I feel like you're not listening to me. He's like, well, after I already shared, I apologize and I hear what you're saying. Give me a break. Okay, how about this, Nell Carter? Why don't you give us a break? Because I'm sick of you being so rude to your wife right now. She has protected you now for 2.5 seasons, and she's trying to enjoy herself. She's had a baby stuck to her boob for like years and years and years, and she just wants to ride a fucking roller coaster and put you in a wig. Can you just be nice to her for once?
Yeah, and he's not having it. And he's like, well, after I already said I apologize and I hear what you're saying, give me a break, Nia. She's like, well, I feel like the give me a break part was really dismissive. Okay, maybe just an apology and not saying give me a break right after. And Lala is still going off about what a problem he is. And she's right. And Michelle's like, well, I mean, we have all heard something. And then we have to pretend that it does not exist. And she says, yeah, everybody in the group stays quiet when it comes to Danny because they don't want to be the new Janet, you know. And so Janet's like, yeah, public enemy number one, if you say anything other than they're perfect. And Lala's like, well, they're far from it. That's for sure.
So Nia's like,
can we chat more in the morning? You want to go to bed, hon? You want to go to bed?
And so then they go inside, though, and they're doing
Rose's wig body shots. Bushes.
Yeah. Yeah. And Danny's like, what is this? What's going on in here? Oh, Zach, you have to hold your boobies like this and put the shot glass in the middle. Okay, Zach, do that. Come on. Oh. And Danny's like, geez. And Zach's like, Nia, are you like not having sex with your man? No, she's not. No, she's not. He can't even feel it.
Yeah, because Danny's like grabbing Zach's boobs and like getting all over Danny. And, he's like, is he even getting laid? And he's like, yeah, I'm not getting laid at all. I just hate him so much. He's the worst. It's like the worst. Every moment he gets worse. So Danny's like, I'm going to just have one more beer and get out of here. And so now Nia comes in and pulls Danny to the side again. And she's like, my love, I need you to take your makeup off. Cause she sees he's going back to drinking. And like, you know, it's like someone who had a storyline last year of, you know, grabbing butts is like jumping on Zach laying on a table, grabbing his boobs. Like, granted, it's all in jest, but it's like, do you even remember the last year, sir? You know?
Yeah, exactly.
And so she's like, let's get him the fuck out of here. You know? So she's like, and I want to preserve my lashes. We should get out of here. And so they walk away and he's like, I can't believe you said that shit.
She goes, you're Mike and I'm Mike. So please help me take your heels off. Thank you. He's like, that was so stupid. Okay, Daniel, you're tired. You had a long day. And he's like, I would never say that stuff to you. I would never say that stuff. I mean, you're actively... whatever it is that you're mad about now, about the lashes, whatever, you are actually doing this. You're being so much worse than anything that she could have ever said. And she's just trying to manage him and be like, okay, let's go inside. And he's like, I don't understand why you said that to me. Oh my God.
Yeah. And he's telling us, I'm just trying to have some fun. What's going on here? We're a team. Like, this isn't how we operate. We don't have these conversations, not around other people. I mean, we do this in private. Yeah, but you're the one making it public. You're the one berating her in public. So.
Yeah. And it's been 2 days of it, too, by the way. Again, this isn't just like a bad night. You showed up on this trip all pissy and you're pissy at the amusement park and you're pissy here. Like, you're just... You're showing your true colors.
You know, and he's going to try and make it, which he ends up doing. But, you know, I was thinking at this point, he's going to try and make this all like, oh, it was one drunken night, guys. No, it's not. It's this entire fucking season. You've been a monster. And especially this trip, you've been an absolute prick this whole time. So you can't blame the alcohol on everything. And honestly, you know what? I think it's time somebody stood up for Tito's. Like, why does Tito's get blamed for every goddamn thing in the world? Like, take some personal responsibility. I am so sick of people blaming alcohol for everything.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah. Hey everyone, this is the end of part one of this recap. For part two, keep an eye on your podcast feed. It is coming up in just a moment. Thanks so much for listening. Catch you on the second half.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
She answered the call. It's Adia Paul.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster.
It's Always Automatic with Ashley Otto.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
She's not just a Sheila. She's a Daniela. Etchels.
We never miss her call. It's Diane Call.
Sunday in the Park with... Dylan Clark.
Big yay, it's Emily Gauthier.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
I go, you go, we all go for Hugo.
Jamie, she has no less namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's a total knockout, it's Katie Manock.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Que sera, sera, whatever will be, will Lauren Silsby.
She gets an A from us, it's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson.
She sure is swell, it's Raquel.
Yes, we canna, it's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
Darn Skippy, it's Tippy.
And our super premium sponsors.
She's VVIP, it's Amanda V.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Put us on a stretcher, it's Charlotte Fletcher.
Hogle your horses, it's Christine Hogle.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Who, what, why, where, and Gwen Pentland.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall. We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
Have a kebab with K-Rob.
My favorite Murdo,
Karen McMurdo.
Let's Get Savage with Laura Wildman.
In the Study with a Candlestick, it's Leslie Peacock.
We're Ride or Die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a Whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always Killing It, it's Lola Alkalani.
Roger That, it's Marlis Rogers.
The Incredible Edible Matthew Sisters.
She Eases Our Woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
She's the Lady of the House, it's Rachel Sharouse.
There's a Chance of Meatballs, it's Rebecca Cloud.
She's Our Princess, it's Rebecca Prince.
She's the Queen Bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
We Cannot Tell a Lie, it's Sarah Talifson.
Shannon, Out of a Cannon, Anthony.
Please Don't Stop, it's Soli and Pop.
Let's Take Off with Tamla Plain.
Strike a Pose, it's Tori Rose.
She Ain't No Shrinkin' Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.